Hello, Sid Roth right here. Last week, if you were here, I'll tell you, it was an exciting show. We found out all about the conspiracy within Christianity to denude the church of its Hebraic Jewish roots. And it really was a conspiracy. It was a mixture crept in. And you know what I wonder? I wonder if that mixture had never crept in, if we wouldn't be getting the same results that we read in the New Covenant. But while that was going on, it's almost like it's a conspiracy in the invisible realm. There was a conspiracy with the Christian church, but there was also a conspiracy with traditional Judaism called Rabbinic Judaism. So on this show, we're going to talk about the Rabbinic conspiracy. I have my friend Dr. Robert Fisher here from Israel, an Israeli scholar. Most believers and Jewish people that don't believe in Jesus have zero knowledge of what Judaism was like just before Jesus came. Many Christians know about things like one group of Jews called the Sadducees, another group of Jews called the Pharisees, but very few have heard of these Essenes. Just to kind of set the stage, Dr. Robert Fisher, what were the Sadducees like? What did they believe?
The Sadducees were the keepers of the temple. They were the aristocracy. Their lives were totally tied in with the temple, and when the temple went away in 70, so did they. They just simply disappeared and they left no legacy.
Okay. What about the Pharisees?
The Pharisees transitioned much more capably. They went out and they became the keepers of the synagogal system. They were the replacement, so to speak, for the temple system. And they transitioned into modern-day rabbinical Judaism. What rabbinical Judaism holds today, they learned from the Pharisees.
Okay. Now, there was a third group that very few people, until we got the revelations of the Dead Sea Scrolls, knew anything about, and they were called the Essenes. What did they believe?
Well, the Essenes were an amazing people. There were really two groups of them. There was a group at Qumran who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. There may have been as many as 100,000 of them there at one point. But all over the Galilee, all over Judea, all over is today modern-day Syria, there were something like 300,000 or more, perhaps as many as a million, according to some authorities, of these Nazarene Essenes. They were the Nazarene sect of the Essenes, and what they believed really was analogous to Christian understanding today.
Now, did you hear that? That is absolutely amazing. And Bob, as you explained to me, that when we see in the New Testament the Way, or we see the Nazarenes, that those were Essenes in those groups.
They were. They were almost entirely Essenes. Mm-hmm. Now, there were certainly Gentile Christians, early Gentile believers in these groups, even pre-Pauline Gentile believers, but the majority at that point in time in the first century, in the early first century, after the ascension of Yeshua, these were Nazarene Essenes.
Okay, before Jesus came to earth, we had these Essenes. They had, from what you told me, a messianic expectation. What was their expectation of the Messiah?
Their expectation was that he would be from the line of David, that he would come in the flesh imminently to atone for their sins, and that he would appear again at the end of days to reign in glory.
Let's get some nitty-gritty stuff, though. Did they believe in his deity?
Absolutely. The scrolls are very clear that he was a great God among the gods. That's a quote from the Dead Sea Scrolls. They had a very clear understanding that he would not only be a deity, but he would be part of a triune Godhead.
Oh, really? There are a lot of Christians that think it kind of evolved through Catholicism, this understanding of Trinity. Well, you're saying it's Jewish?
Absolutely Jewish. It was being taught by the Jewish sages as early as 515 BC that the Godhead was triune in nature. And it got written down finally in about 200 AD as in the form of the Zohar and other written forms, that it was a clearly Jewish idea that God was existed in three parts.
Now, are you getting this? I mean, let's go over this again. These Essenes were looking for a Messiah. This Messiah they were looking for would be from the seed of David. He would be deity in human form. He would have a triune nature. And so when Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, came, what do you think these Essenes did?
Well, it's, if you read in the book of Acts, in one day, 3,000 entered into the kingdom. You know, it didn't take any evangelism. They were anticipating him, and within days, within a handful of days, they were coming into the faith by the thousands, simply because when Yeshua showed up, he fulfilled their expectation. Exactly. They understood who he was, and they embraced him in the droves.
Listen. So the big question I have is, why didn't every Jew believe that Jesus was the Messiah at that time? We'll be right back after this word. I urge you not to go away. I don't think you will. Hello, Sid Roth here with Dr. Robert Fisher, and we're talking about the most outstanding discovery so few Christians and Jews and Muslims ever heard. I mean, I think it would change everyone's thinking about Jesus if they would just investigate the belief of the Essenes as revealed through the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, the question I have is, it's so obvious what these Essenes believed before Jesus came. We can see why the Essenes believed in Jesus, but why didn't every Jew believe in Jesus at the time?
Well, because they were very sectarian in nature. At the time, if you recall, we had the Sadducees that did their thing.
They were sad.
And disappeared. They were very sad. And we had the Pharisees that went their own way, that were in great opposition. You know, you'll recall Yeshua was very upset with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but you see nothing. You don't even see the Essenes mentioned by name in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. Why? Because Yeshua was very happy with them, obviously. They are mentioned as the Way, they are mentioned as the Nazarenes, but not as the Essenes, which is
okay, so what did the other types of Jews do that did not believe in Yeshua?
Well, the as I pointed out earlier, the Sadducees, who were sad, simply disappeared. Pharisees went on to become modern-day rabbinical Judaism. They transitioned into that way of thinking.
So what's wrong with modern rabbinical teaching?
They miss the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come, by their estimation, at some point in the future, but when he comes, he's going to come to solve all the world's problems. He's going to be a man who brings peace. He's going to be a great judge. He's going to be a warrior, a leader of men. But he isn't in any way to be misconstrued as God.
Well, you know, the one thing I know coming from a traditional Jewish background is the Shema, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Amen.
Okay, now, if therefore we Jews say this Yeshua, we can't believe in a triune nature, in a deity, in a Messiah, because of the Shema and because of the Articles of Faith by Rambam. Explain.
This is one of my favorite subjects. Echad, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad. The word Echad in Hebrew allows for a plurality within a unity. For example, and this is only one example of many from the Old Testament, a man and a woman will become one flesh, Echad. So a man.
So if that means two people, man and woman, become one, echad, that means multiple unity. So why do we Jews, from a rabbinic viewpoint, not believe in a multiple unity of this one God?
Because Maimonides Rambam, who came along in the 13th century, if I'm not mistaken, getting my date straight, he wrote the 13 articles of the Jewish faith, which really became the outline of what modern-day rabbinical Judaism believes. And he took the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and basically perverted it by taking the word one and not using echad, but using a word yechid. And yechid means an indivisible unity.
But why would he distort Torah? That's what he did.
It's precisely what he did. And in fact, one of the other articles of faith is that God will not be able to take on human flesh. That is,
But what did the Essenes believe?
The Essenes believed exactly the opposite. The Essenes believed that he would come in the flesh. Imminently, they were expecting him.
You know, if every Jew were to understand exactly what Dr. Robert Fisher is saying, that this is Jewish. This is Judaism. True Judaism is believing in a God who came in the form of a man, who had a triune nature, who was from the seed of David. This was all believed. How many would you say were of these Jewish people were believers?
At the end of the first century, the figures vary quite a bit, but the upward figure is 1 million. 1 million, and that's 33%, said, of the Jews of that day were believers in Yeshua, if that figure indeed is correct. Today, something less than 1% of the Jews in the world are believers in Yeshua. So we've come downhill from a true understanding of 33% to something less than 1%.
Okay, I want to find out more about these Essenes and the Dead Sea Scrolls. First of all, tell me about, just briefly, about what are the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls were written down over a period of time from 270 BC to 70 CE. They were written down by this celibate group of monks at Qumran. All of the books of the Old Covenant are included, but there were many of their own understandings included, and many New Testament ideas, Christian theology was included in the scrolls, written down by these people long before Paul walked the face of the earth, long before Yeshua walked the face of the earth. Christian theology and Christian doctrine were written down and recorded in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Things like grace, predestined.
Grace,
they believed in grace. That the scrolls.
I always thought in terms of works mentality within Judaism.
Within Pharisaic rabbinical Judaism, but not within Essenic Judaism.
Ah.
So they had a very clear understanding of grace. They had a very clear understanding of predestination. They had a very clear understanding of the Lord's Supper. You can read.
Wait. You're saying before Jesus came, they understood communion, the Lord's Supper?
They certainly did. There was a type of the Lord's Supper. Every major meal.
Did they pray for the sick?
They prayed for the sick. They prayed.
Oh, listen, we're running out of time. We'll be right back after this word. Don't go away. Be right back. Hello, Sid Roth here with Dr. Robert Fisher from Israel, wonderful Israeli scholar. I am so fascinated on the revelations from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Everyone that's a Jew or a Christian absolutely needs to get this information. That's why we're making this DVD available for you. It's exclusive through our organization. But Bob, the Essenes intrigue me so much because if we can understand the Essenes, which I assume most of the first believers were from the Essene type of Jews, the first believers in Jesus, if we can understand them, we can understand our roots. For instance, they had, according to your teaching, they had a three-stage phase of something called baptism, except they called it mikvah, which is a Hebrew word, and that means just to totally be immersed. Tell me about these three stages.
There were three phases to the initiation of these people, and you'll recall they were coming into the faith by the thousands, you know, one day 3,000. They went down into a grotto. They were supervised by deaconesses and deacons appropriately. They were anointed with oil. And in total darkness, they were anointed with oil. They repented for their sins. They made a statement of faith. And then the entire grotto was lit up with hundreds of Roman lamps, oil-powered Roman lamps. And their bodies glistened. Then they went to the next phase, which was right down the catacomb. Their catacombs all under Mount Zion.
Now, these were the first believers.
These were the first believers. They were first Jewish believers in Yeshua.
That's so amazing that we can know what they did.
You know where this is recorded? It was recorded by the early Roman Catholic Church Fathers, and it's very well documented.
It's amazing, though, that no one knows about it today.
Well, they do know if you dig deep enough.
Well, they do, but most of us don't.
That's true. Anyway, they went down the corridor, and there was a mikvah, a place of immersion, and they were immersed three times, total immersion, in the Jewish manner, self-immersion, supervised by a deacon or a deaconess, as the case were. They were first baptized in the name of the Father, and then the name of the Son, and then the name of the Holy Spirit. And this was the second
So this
phase.
Whole deal of Jesus only is a Johnny-come-lately.
Of course it is. Then the third part that really excites me is they went to the next part. And the next part was analogous to the Pentecostal baptism in the Holy Spirit. So they were baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Now,
so
it was
speak.
A total immersion, or
the immersion part of it was the second phase. You recall they were okay. they
yes.
were immersed. After
but,
that
but,
was finished. But
how were they immersed?
They were immersed. They were self-immersed. They were
self. I mean,
they literally were squatted down in the water, and the person supervising this, a deacon or a deaconess, ensured that they were fully immersed. I baptize in Israel the same way today.
What do you mean ensured?
Well, they to make certain that if they didn't get their head under,
they push
shoved
them under?
A bit to make certain.
Hey, I don't know about that today. You get a lawsuit.
I haven't yet.
Okay.
And they were immersed in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And then they went to the third phase, which was down the catacomb a bit further, where they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, so to speak. They were prayed for, and they left speaking in tongues.
Now, they got the whole thing. I have heard something, and I don't know if you've seen anything on it. I'm curious, but I was told there was faith in the early mikveh, or baptism, for these Jewish believers, that when they would go under the water, the demonic strongholds in their life would stay under there, and they'd have like a form of deliverance when they came up.
Actually, that's probably true, but the main repentance and the renunciation of Satan took part in the first phase. You recall that they...
Yeah, but they didn't wait 6 months like Christians do today. They were instantly...
They were instantly. Yeah. When they left that ceremony, they were fully born-again believers in Yeshua. They were baptized...
Now, that's my kind of discipleship.
Amen. And the thing that amazes me is there were thousands going through this process. Thousands of them. And one day, remember, 3,000. Every day there were thousands and thousands. At the end of the first century, we were looking at something like 1 million Jewish believers in Israel that had gone through this three-part process and emerged as on fire Jewish believers. Now, they weren't Christians. They were Jews who had anticipated the Messiah, and they'd embraced him, and they were simply fulfilled Jews, if you will. There are all kinds of names for our people that are confusing.
What happened to all of these people, these Essenes and these 1 million Jewish believers in the Messiah? What happened to them?
They were basically discriminated against by the Romans of the day. In 135, the revolt took place, led by a Rabbi Akiva, who embraced a false Messiah.
The rabbis made a mistake on the Messiah?
They certainly did.
Guess what? If the rabbis made a mistake and named a false Messiah, not just once, many times, maybe they made a mistake on the true Messiah.
Amen. Well, they certainly did. Well, anyway, Rabbi Akiva named Bar Kova in 135, and this Essenic movement at that point in time, these new Jewish believers, there were many of them around at that point in time. There were hundreds of thousands of them anyway. And he wanted them to join with him against the Romans in a secular rebellion. But there was a catch to it. They had to embrace his Messiah, his false Messiah, Bar Kova, and in the process denounce their Yeshua. Obviously, as born-again believers in Yeshua, they refused to do this. And this was the beginning of the major downfall, because all of Judaism at that point in time, other than the Essenes, turned against them. And they started to self-consume. And of course, the Romans were against them as well.
So, talk about being in a vice. Here, the Jewish believers in the Messiah were rejected from the church. They were rejected by the rabbis. And that's why many assimilated and today don't even know about their Jewish roots. But the truth of the matter is that the roots of Christianity are Jewish. The truth of the matter is the most Jewish thing you can do is believe that Yeshua, Hebrew for Jesus, is the Jewish Messiah. The truth of the matter is, if you're a non-Jew, God loves you as much as all of the Jewish people. God has so much love. His whole plan is to break down the separation between Jews and Gentile to form something brand new. And this brand new is called the one new man, and he has a name. His name is Yeshua. Get to know him. Listen, you have been turned off by man. Never get turned off on God by man. There is a peace that is available to you that is beyond anything that anyone can offer, beyond drugs, beyond meditation. There is a healing for your soul. There is a purpose for your life. If you tell God you're sorry of your sins, believe the blood of Yeshua washed it away, and then say, I make you Lord, Yeshua, come inside.